From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. No one was hurt during last month's record flooding in Juneau, but a cat named Leo went missing when a home collapsed into the Mendenhall River. Thankfully, as KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, he's now home safe.
Elizabeth Wilkins rented the white house on Riverside Drive that fell into the river. She spent the last month looking for a new place to live. She's also been looking for Leo, a black and white cat with yellow eyes.
You can come over. Come on over. This is about you. He's pretty great.
Leo had been missing since last month's flood. On Thursday, she found him. Now, they're sitting together on the floor of a cabin out the road. Wilkins says reuniting with Leo has provided a break from the stress of the last several weeks.
Yesterday, we couldn't stop, laughing because it just felt really good, like this release to just be like, oh, my gosh, this is, like, the best thing that anyone's ever heard in at least a month, you know. It's nice to have some good news.
David Albert adopted Leo with Wilkins during the pandemic. He says Leo seems relieved, too.
He slept hard last night. And he was just a little snuggle bug. Like, every time I'd sit, he'd come over and sit on my lap and sleep on my chest. And he's just so happy to be among family again.
Wilkins and Albert were both out of town during the flooding, but they watched the viral video of the house collapsing into the river. They think all the noise made Leo run away before it fell in.
I watched the video of the house over and over again just to, figure out, A, what was it like to be in it, and is it possible that he's okay, or is it impossible? And looking at the video, the disaster that was, it was hard to imagine that anybody could be okay.
Still, Wilkins spent the next few weeks scrolling through photos posted by Juneau residents trying to help people find their missing cats. Then, on Thursday, someone posted a photo of a black and white cat in her yard in a Juneau Facebook group. He had a distinctive black spot on the back of his right leg.
We had been analyzing all these black and white cat photographs, and this time it was him for sure.
Wilkins teaches at Montessori Borealis and Juneau Community Charter School. After school on Thursday, she went looking for Leo at the woman's house, less than a mile from her former home. She called his name, and Leo came running out. Leo is no fraidy cat. He was rescued from an abandoned building, and he still spends a lot of time outside. Wilkins thinks it served him well this last month.
I think he has been using his best survival skills. He is a good hunter.
Still, Albert says Leo has lost some weight.
He's on an all-you-can-eat diet now.
Wilkins is house-sitting for friends while she looks for a more permanent place to live. She's considering all her options, including a camper van, a tiny home, or even a sailboat. She's hopeful something will work out. Leo purrs on the couch next to her and Albert.
This is just like a little glimmer of hope or life, a little tiny good news in this otherwise really, really sad and catastrophic story.
Leo has already caught a mouse since he got home. But between his outdoor excursions, he's lounging on the couch and enjoying his kibble, happy to be back with his favorite humans. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
Down the Kuskokwim River from Bethel, a quickly eroding shoreline has put some of a village underwater, and much of the rest is likely to be underwater soon. At the moment, the water plant is 53 feet from the shore. This week, officials from Village Safe Water, a branch of the State Department of Environmental Conservation, and the Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation visited to assess the water plant and to set up a temporary new watering point. As KYUK's Sunny Bean reports, they hope to have it running by this winter.
They'll keep the old door on the old water plant, which is going to become part of the temporary new water plant, but they need to get a doorknob. The first step for the local and state collaboration is to get the building's heat working. Not too much, but enough so the pipes don't freeze. There's about 10 feet between the old water plant building and the city office's washateria, a space with public washing machines that's one of three water sources in town. They're going to attach the old water infrastructure to it, hopefully with an Arctic pipe, since the washateria is the furthest inland, about 300 feet from the eroding riverbank. It's one of Village Safe Water's main priorities right now. to get Nepakiak's community watering point upgraded and running in 3 months' time. Mostly, they're lucky because they have the foundation already, and the Washeteria has its own well. It's important because right now, the city's only water plant is 53 feet from the shore, and the shore keeps getting closer. The old water plant building has been robbed of its good pieces over the years, and its electric board is corroding. The plant had a short life in the 90s, but its water wasn't clean enough. The village shut it down, the other water plant was enough. Now, all three water sources are at risk. For the reboot, they tested the old plant's tanks, and they've been approved for drinking water. Plus, it will be able to hold more than four times as much water as the current water plant, and has more space than the Washeteria. When the current water plant goes underwater, the Washeteria and the new extension into the old water plant will be the only water source owned by the city. There is a third and final water source, the school. That's owned and operated by the school district, and is much more expensive to operate and maintain. Plus, the school is just 73 feet from the shore itself. Last summer, they knocked down the high school and middle school wings to buy some time. William Miller Memorial School principal Nicholas Mills explained.
So there was kind of like to, I guess, cut off the arm to save the body so that we could still educate our kids and not have to go remote.
Since the Washeteria is the furthest inland water source, VSW and the city are rushing to set up the temporary water station in case things go badly weather-wise this fall, in which case it could become the village's only water source. Still, this is a short-term solution. All three water facilities are in the relocation zone, expected to be underwater soon. They expect the river to reach the Washeteria, which is the furthest inland, in 10 to 15 years, if they're lucky. Walter Nelson, the managed retreat coordinator for Nepakiak, said,
"It is a temporary situation. Currently, we had funding over on the west side of the new subdivision area to open a larger, much bigger, well-watering point with LKSD."
Nelson is excited for a new plant, which will be connected to the new school's water. They even plan to install piped water in the village for the first time. But they're still working out the preliminary engineering plans, fleshing out the exact plans and costs. He said all of this will take a number of years. The Washeteria is still in the erosion's path, but its distance from the shore will buy the village some extra time. In Nepakiak, I'm Sunny Bean.
The Environmental Protection Agency has announced $2.5 million in grants to three Alaska Native corporations. They're part of a $20 million appropriation from Congress to clean up contaminated lands that were conveyed to Native corporations under the 1971 Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. The announcement came when EPA Administrator Michael Regan made the final stop of his Alaska tour in Fairbanks last week. Regan said this first round of funding barely addresses the problem.
Just the breadth of contaminated lands, contaminated conveyed lands, is astounding. And so in addition to this $20 million, we had a lot of discussions with local leaders about how we could devise strategies to acquire resources from other programs.
Regan also visited Ukiagvik last week, where the Ukpiagvik Inupiaq Corporation is based. It will receive $600,000 to remove asbestos and other contaminants from the old U.S. Navy Arctic Research Center, as well as clean up an oil spill. Pearl Brower, president of UIC, says lands across rural Alaska have been heavily contaminated due to years of extensive military activity. She says Ukiagvik site is just a small portion of lands in need of cleanup, but calls it a good first step. Brower says she looks forward to a time when her children and grandchildren can subsist off of clean land and water. Senator Lisa Murkowski, who championed the legislation, is also working to find other sources of federal money to clean up more Native corporation lands.
It thwarts their ability to fulfill the promise of ANCSA, was that they would be able to utilize their lands for the betterment of their people. But when your lands are contaminated and you can't access them for development, much less berry picking, that's not keeping our promise.
The Tayonek and Unalashka corporations will each receive $1 million in funding. Tayonek will use the money to inventory and clean up contaminants on the Inniskin Peninsula. The Unalashka Corporation will target pollution from World War II, removing soil contaminated with PCBs, as well as sampling soil and water at a warehouse in Dutch Harbor. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 66 and sunny out today. The low tonight is 49 degrees. There's rain on the forecast for the rest of the week, with highs around the mid-50s and lows just a few degrees cooler. This is KTOO.